conventions and expos, trumpets and horns. You are now tuned in to the Disneyholic Show.
Hello and welcome to the Disneyholic Show. That's Mike TV.
And that's Jen Diz.
Today we are excited to share our latest trip report to the parks, discuss D23 ticket buying experience, and envision our dream Disneyland band set. All right, so you guys know that we obviously can't perform magic and have these out the exact day that they're recorded. So we usually record on Tuesdays, the night before our air date. So today is the official day that D23 ticket sales went on or started for D23 Gold members, and which I am one of. So,
oh, that's right. For a second, I forgot they were different tiers that could buy starting Tuesday.
Yeah,
right?
There was D23 today. Wednesday, the day this airs, is Visa card members, not just Disney Chase Visa, which I thought it was. It's all Visa because Visa's sponsoring the event.
Oh.
So all Visa card, no matter what type you have, you can get in today. So if you're listening to this now, you have Visa. Get in there. And then finally, it's all other D23 members. And again, they're making everyone sign up for D23, which I think is very smart.
Clever.
Even like the free one, you know? So yeah, that's essentially general public, but you have to sign up for D23.
Oh, even more confusing is, not even more, but a funny change is that it's rebranded as D23. Just when we were finally getting used to saying D23 Expo.
I know, it's like rolling off the tongue freely finally after all these years. But yes, so D23 as its own, which I'll probably say D23 Expo 72 times in the next little portion.
Yeah, because you want to make sure we're not talking about just the membership, right?
Yeah. It's now called, I think, is what they're trying to say is the whole thing, right? D23, the ultimate fan event.
Ultimate Disney fan event.
Or the ultimate Disney fan event. But that's too long. Let's just, okay, T-U-D-F.
TUDF.
Here's your acronym. So yes, first thing on the table, is Mike even going? Mike, what do you have to say?
All right, D23, I'm still going to say D23 Expo 2024.
Yeah,
so
let's just call it.
I've been noodling on it ever since the T23 2022. And every now and then it would come up on the podcast where I'd be like, I don't know if I'm going to go, but I feel like I should because we have a Disney podcast and I love all that stuff. But ultimately, I decided I'm going to sit out this year, 2024, for a couple of reasons. First, I went back and I listened to episode 102 and 103 of the Disneyholic Show back in 2022. And first of all, they're really fun episodes to go back and listen to. I did have it on 2.2 times speed, was listening to it fast. And it was fun reliving that because we had gone and tried to do so much that week, which probably contributed to the stress that I am triggered by when I think of it.
Oh, shoot.
So we did Disneyland, and then we did the Expo, and then we did Oogie Boogie Bash, and then we flew back home the next day, all in the same week.
And we had a meetup.
Our
first ever.
Disneyholics show meetup, happy hour at the Hearthstone Lounge at Grand California. And what's interesting was, at least on the podcast recording, this is so funny to look back on, I didn't come off as jaded as I remembered feeling. So I think I was being bit nicer on the podcast about how I felt. But ultimately, what I got out of listening to myself from 2 years ago was that we didn't learn anything new, or at least this was my perception after the Expo, was we didn't learn anything new because they had started trickling out tons of announcements the couple of weeks leading up to the Expo. And so that kind of bummed out a lot of us because we were like, oh, why didn't they just save it for 2 more weeks?
Yeah, so they really should have.
Yep. And then there
was... I still don't get why they did it.
Yeah.
Like, it still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And then it was the first one since the pandemic. So it was like the new every other year kind of shifted. But part of that meant our predictions going into that, which we had a whole other episode, 101, about predictions. Our predictions leading up to that were, I bet you they're just going to rehash everything they told us in 2019. And that's what they did. So in the recap episodes, we were talking about that. But my favorite part was you're really good at setting expectations. So you had said on the recap episode, I actually liked it. It was on par with other expos because you set your expectations going in, not to expect all these huge grand things. And I didn't. I was on the other side hoping for all those theories and conspiracies to come true. None of it did. So there's that. And I'm expecting that to kind of happen again. So I'm like, okay, I'll be on the sidelines. And then the lead up announcements, they've already, as of this week in March, been announcing new things. And so I'm like, okay, they'll probably give you more details at the expo, but I'm okay sitting it out. Also, I don't know if our listeners know, but I've moved recently. So I'm in the middle of a move. And also, that means I have to fly out. I don't have a magic key that's active. I would have to get another ticket to get into the park. So there's just a lot of things where I'm like, all right, I'll sit this one out. But Disney's still going to get my money because I'm going to reinvest the Disney dollars that I would have spent at D23 on probably a cruise, because there's some cruises coming up later this year, which are going to the new island of Lighthouse Point for the first time. So I'm like, all right, I still get my Disney fix in. I'll hear all the updates from you live on Instagram. We'll still talk about all the stuff. And then I get to see what it's like to just see the streaming, because that's always fun too, to find out what you saw and what they blacked out for us on the streaming services.
Oh, right, yeah, right. Yeah. I forgot about that part of it. And I've watched quite a few other types of things, like video games and other big announcements.
Star Wars Apple Celebration, like, that one has a good one.
Yeah, yeah, all that kind of stuff. When you watch them live, it's still really fun from home. Of course, it won't like be as cool as being in the building, but like it's good.
Yeah,
For free, totally. And sitting in your house, not having to leave, right? So yeah, if you guys aren't going and you do want to, I don't know for sure they're going to stream. I don't think they've confirmed, but like they probably will.
Probably,
so.
I'm thinking like Legends. I don't know about the big like the parks panel. So that's the thing that I'm still gonna feel FOMO about. I will admit that. And I also don't want to jinx it. I want them to give you guys big announcements, not just because I'm not there, but at the same time, I'm like, you know that feeling when you're not there. You don't want your friends to have too much fun, but you want them to have a good time.
Wow, goodness gracious. Well, I am mostly excited about them announcing, and who knows if they will. They're set my expectations right now. Get it started. That whole like $10 billion or whatever they're throwing in, hopefully to talk somewhat about that, because they've been announcing that for a long time now.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll
want to see how they're
going to
spend.
That's what I'm most excited about.
That parks budget. Oh, and there's one more reason, which I was hesitant to even talk about because it's kind of blasphemous, but Epic Universe at Universal opens in 2025, and I'm going to need to save money for that. That's like a whole other thing that I want to cover, whether it's for Disneyholics or not. Like, it's such a cool theme park. It's the first time I think since California Adventure that I've experienced a brand new theme park open, especially like in the United States. Granted, it's Universal, which is kind of like the frenemy of Disney. That's happening next year.
I was gonna say, so should we put out applications for a new co-host because he's moving to Universal?
No. You know why? Because you know I'm gonna compare everything to Disney at the new park.
That's very true.
Yeah, so there's a lot of going on. So I think as a theme park fan, I don't feel like I'm gonna miss too much by sitting out D23. But yeah, I'm gonna have FOMO for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I did go through the ticket buying experience. So I wanted to share what that was like for everybody. Now, first up, just in case you haven't been following along or aren't going to the expo, this year is very different than the previous years. And the reason why is that they have kind of split up the expo into two, again, expo. I'm just going with
it. Right. I mean, it is what it is.
That's it. The expo. So the expo is kind of split up into two pieces now. It used to be everything from 10 to 6, Friday through Sunday, in the Anaheim Convention Center. Now they have these giant panels that are every single day during the expo over at the Honda Center in the evening. So now you have mornings and evening events to go to. And it creates this whole new way of buying tickets. So at first I was like, this is actually really cool. We're going to have our seats assigned. We don't have to, like, no one's going to have to camp out overnight anymore, because only those big panels that they've moved are the only ones that you ever had to.
Yeah.
The other ones you might have to get there an hour ahead at most to be able to get a good seat or whatever. So,
and you don't have to choose.
No more stressing out about that.
You don't have to choose between show floor and a panel, a big panel, because they're kind of separate.
Right.
You could still do your thing.
Right. Yeah. It's completely separate. Yeah. The only thing to do in the evening at all is the Honda Center events, which are the big panels. So easy, right? So I was like, all right, this ticket buying experience may be really cool. Like, you're just going to, it's like a regular concert where you go in and put, like, I have four people. Find me the best four seats that are sat together. Girl, was I wrong? It was not.
Oh, no.
Like, if you guys are watching YouTube, I'm still in my, like, comfy, which are called comfies, like this giant blanket made into a sweatshirt. I was like, I have to be comfortable today and just ready for this. And I thought I was overdoing it, and I was so stressed out. So it was still a very stressful experience.
I heard the little green man came back, too.
The little freaking green man is back. And with a vengeance. But the best part is, in total typical, yep, there he is. Where's my arrow? Right here. In total typical Disney D23 fashion, they fucked up at some point. So, like, people were getting in, and it was saying that tickets weren't available to purchase until August 8th.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, did they not even test this thing? Like, what do you mean? So, and then people in there only had, like, 15 minutes, and they would kick them out. So I don't know what ended up happening with those people. Hopefully they didn't lose their spot. It's kind of crazy. We did see that once they got it fixed, somebody purchased a ticket that was number 200 quite quickly. So, like, hopefully everybody got
it. Wait a minute. August 8th is the day before the expo starts. That's crazy that they had it that messed up, that wrong.
Yeah. Yep. And some people were saying August 9th. Some people were saying August 7th. So I don't even know what was going on with that.
Wow.
Mine said August 8th. I did have to hit refresh, because even when I went in, hours later when I finally got in, it still said that they weren't available. And I just hit refresh because I had been reading what everybody's writing. So there's all this tips and stuff flowing through the internet.
Wow, stressful.
That if you're not following, you probably had a harder time than I did. And I had a hard time. So here's the catch. I thought, like, all right, this is going to be really easy. We're going to get our four seats for the group of us, and we're always going to be in the same spot every night of this event, and it's just going to be easy, right? However, when you realize that people can buy individual day tickets and or select their seats on their own, it then does not turn it into a smooth buying process. So by the time I made it in, and long before I even got in there, they had no more groups of seats together. They were all individual seats, because they're all these random one-seaters that people left a gap, like you would do in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Leave an empty one between you and the strangers.
That's another thing they should have tested, because I've seen some theaters don't allow that now. Like Alamo, it won't let you. But like AMC,
oh, really?
It will let you. Yeah, Alamo. And I get irritated because I like the space.
I know. This one might have not let you. I luckily had, like, I was doing it. Like, the only way I could do it was getting them all together. But with no spaces, but it did have a red exclamation point, and it says, please don't leave single seats. But I don't know if it would have let you move forward out.
Yeah, please sounds more like a request than a...
Yeah, I don't know if I didn't try it, so... but nonetheless, by the time I made it in, actually, by the time my friend, who was also shopping for us, made it in, there was already... That was like 45 minutes before I got in. There was already no groups of seats together, all individuals. So I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then Courtney, shout out to Courtney, reached out to me because she was also in line to get tickets. Savior Angel Courtney. She reached out to me and said, hey, quick hack. If you just buy individual day tickets, they're the same price as a 3-day ticket, and you could get, and there's lots of seats open. So I was like, oh my God. So I went in and I got all four seats sitting together. Pretty close in each day, like pretty similar seating situation, just maybe different seats, but who cares? And we got our tickets that way.
Oh, so you have
if you're listening now and haven't got your tickets yet, try that out.
You have a different ticket for each date with different seats, but you're able to get them together and where you wanted.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That is a good hack.
Exactly.
Wow, shout out Courtney.
Yeah, because if you bought the whole 3-day pass, they were sold out. But the individual, you could do that. What was I going to say about it? Something you said that made me
That's interesting. It's like when you try to get a DVC room or a hotel room, if you're willing to change rooms every night, you can get the whole week.
Right.
But
just like that.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yep. So it was kind of crazy, but we got in, got it over, and it's fine. It's good. I'm going. I got my tickets. I think I had gone into this, though, thinking like, okay, it's at the Honda Center. I think they can fit everybody. I don't know. But what I didn't realize, because I was like, all right, I'll get a ticket no matter what, right? What I didn't think about is like, what if the cheap seats, which I wanted, sold out? Uh-huh. And then the only available seats are the $700 all the way up to $2,500 tickets, right? So you still need to get in as soon as you can to buy your tickets.
What seating section did you guys end up going for? 400, 200?
The worst ones.
Highest.
The cheap ones.
Well, you know, another tip for people, there's a website called View From My Seat. Are you familiar with this one?
Oh, cute.
Yeah, and you could see it. I use it a lot for Broadway shows, and it'll show you exactly what it looks like, and it's all user uploaded. So it's not going to have every seat, but it has at least the section. So you could preview.
Oh, they just like take a picture from where they're sitting.
Yeah, and they upload it.
That's such a great
sharing. Such a good
thing.
Like community thing, right?
Yeah.
And I had looked when they first released the seating map for Honda Center. Pretty much every seat has a good view. And they're going to have screens. So as long as you don't need to see...
I love me a Jumbotron.
You don't need to see the nose hairs of Chris Evans, you'll be good.
But we've done that.
I know. Yeah, been there, done that. We did Sorcerer Front Row. So yeah, I think no matter what seat you get, you'll have a good view. That's what it looks like from the website. And yeah, they always have those big Jumbotrons anyways. And most of the time it's like corporate people. So, I mean, how close do you need to be to, well, I do like Bob Iger, but to Josh D'Amaro. Well, I do like Josh D'Amaro too. But yeah, how close do you need to be to those people, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would see it close if it wasn't $2,500.
And interestingly enough, the floor seats, which are the most expensive, you said they go up to like $2,500. I would not want those seats because it goes back to flat. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
I like a stadium style seat. No, there's less heads in the way.
Right.
So I don't know. Kudos to the people who
especially
got floor seats,
short,
but it's probably
I'm always like,
yeah,
like
maneuvering,
like dodging left and right the entire show.
Yep.
And then people get uncomfortable in their seat, and I'm like, ah! Yeah. And then I have to, like, change my seating. Oh, my God.
And people on the floor, which is sometimes called, like, the pit, if you're going to, like, a rock concert, they usually stand up. So that means, I don't know, I don't want to jinx it for people who did get floor tickets. Shout out to you all. But it seems, like, more stressful to be down there.
right. Yeah. So when I was, like, thinking about it last night, it was like 8 or 9 o'clock last night. I was like, all right, where do we know the link yet? So I started like searching around for it. And then really quickly I found it. And the queue was already open. Like it showed the little queue it logo and like the time ticking down. And I was like, oh my God. So I just left them. I opened all my browsers. I made sure my laptop didn't go to sleep. And so I was like, in my head, I'm like, what if I'm already in the queue at like 9 p.m. the night before? Like that's pretty sweet. Didn't matter. This morning, it like shuffled everybody that was in it and gave us random holding numbers. Like my friend got in like an hour before it opened and she got number like 9,000 or something. I was like 12,000 online. So
Wow. Does
the lottery thing, like shuffles it up. So it doesn't matter. Within half an hour of it opening is when they realized everything was broken. And I thought for sure they're going to push out. Remember that one time was that for Oogie Boogie? Or for this, where they had to, like, change the whole date of the tickets.
Yeah, they, like, completely rescheduled it. Yeah.
Oh, my God, what a mess it would have been with all these different days for different people. So, luckily, they got it figured out. And then probably about an hour after that, I think it was, like, 1:30 when they got to reopen it and people got, you know, started going through. So, just the typical Disney ticket buying mess. And I think I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Honda Center. So they had those three events. Friday night is the Disney Entertainment event. So they've also kind of rebranded these, right? So entertainment's going to be like movies, TV, like, or like, you know, streaming, whatever you want to call it. Movies, streaming, anything else like entertainment-wise will be that night. The Saturday night event will be Disney Experiences. This is going to be likely all the parks stuff and all the cruise. Anything else that you can actually go to and do.
Yep.
And then Sunday night is Disney Legends. So that was always the opening.
Yeah, that's backwards.
Right? They usually have like 10 a.m. on Friday or something.
Huh.
So that's
that means those big stars have to stay until Sunday.
Or fly in Sunday. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
If they're going to be there for anything else or not. Yeah, you're right, because most of them are probably like movie stars, right?
Yep.
So they're at the first night, and then
we got some big names.
Harrison Ford. Walking around.
Yep, I was thinking him first too.
Disney Legend, soon to be. Another thing they did for the Honda Center is they've added a shuttle, free of charge, for people going over there. Now, I can't even like think about how chaotic this is going to be to move. I think the Honda Center holds 18,000 people. So they're going to transport 18,000 people in buses?
On the streets of Anaheim.
That's, I don't know about that one. We'll have to see how that goes. I'm not excited about it. I'm excited to see how it works. I'm not excited to experience it. Let's put it that way.
And you and I have both done
madness
events for our jobs and things. And just getting people to get on maybe two or three buses to get somewhere is very difficult.
However, this is the Disney community. You have to remember, we will be there in line for the shuttles 3 hours before they get there. So it might work out okay, but there will be a lot of people who don't get it also. So those are some different things that are going on this year. Another thing to think about is that often we would come to the expo 10 to 6 p.m. and then go to the park in the evening for a couple hours. No longer a thing either. So that's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
It feels like it doesn't even need to be in Anaheim anymore at that point.
It seems interesting to figure out who cares about what type of stuff. Like, I wonder how many people aren't going to the nighttime big panels and just doing the expo and small panels.
Yeah, those people can still go. Yeah. I know. I think it was only like maybe, I wish I could remember what the cost difference was, but it was less than $100 different to add on all the nighttime events. So I'm curious to see how many. I know one of my friends did just buy the, she's like, I never cared about those big panels. I just want to go hear all the Imagineers and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of perfect for her. Tickets are cheaper and they get to not have to worry about the drama of the seats and the shuttle and the everything.
And perhaps
so we'll see.
Disneyland won't be so crowded at night. I don't know. Go either way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that either. Yep. Okay. Big bonus for those who aren't going to the Honda Center. I see you. I was actually thinking last time where it was like so exhausting, right, to camp out overnight. Maybe I should just try a regular expo like it used to be. Like I used to just go to those panels. They didn't have those giant ones. I don't even think they had them at the very beginning. Maybe they did and we just skipped them. I don't remember. But
so you could just go to the show floor and the small panels.
Right. Huh. Yeah. So definitely going to be a different world this time around. I'm excited for it. I'm here for it. I love that we don't need to stay up all night. Love it. Love that nobody needs to stay up all night. I think that'll help even with people's crankiness with each other, probably, you know, like stuff like that you don't think about, or people like con stank. That's like a whole thing.
Blech.
So now they have time to take showers. No excuses, right? So how do you think it's going to go?
Again, I don't want to jinx
funny
it
because
I'm
now
not
we
there.
Have two different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish you all the best is what I'll say.
He's like, I hope it crashes
but
and burns.
I don't have confidence in the shuttles. I can imagine a huge procession of people walking that give up after the first night's shenanigans. And then some people on the bus still trying to make it work. And then there's people who are probably just stubborn and want to drive regardless. And, you know, I don't have a car, so I don't know how that feels to just feel like that might be easier. But then you have to deal with Honda Center parking. So it does seem like a cluster, but I think it's really great that they're trying something because the overnight queues were just not manageable. And the overlapping of everything made us miss out on things or just added unnecessary stress. And then the way they did the tickets this time, I'm curious if they're experimenting with trying to reduce the volume of resellers. And they're basically like in our way. A lot of times they're not fans and it's like, just get out of here, resellers. So maybe they can find their own journey because they don't need to go to the nighttime events. They'll just go to the show floor, buy their crap, go back and sell it on eBay.
Get out of here. Yeah. I was also noticing that this is a different type of reseller, but like reselling tickets and whatnot. I can't remember how they did it in the past, but this year you didn't have to put any names or anything.
Interesting.
So you could literally buy a bunch of tickets and flip them on eBay or something.
So it is a lot more like a concert. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very similar format. But yeah, I was thinking through a lot more pieces of this too. One is like now, since they've separated the big panels in the evening, not only like can you decide if you even want to go or not, but also you've gained back like hours of the expo.
Yeah.
Like for the regular panels and the regular floor, like you've gained so much time back. That's at least 6 hours minimum of time that you gained back for the expo. Isn't that amazing?
That's so good. And like, that is remember super cool. There's that crush that happens every time Hall D23 would let out onto the show floor.
Absolutely.
That is no longer going to be there. That's nice.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, so that is pretty positive bonus. And like not having to even think about that during the day is going to be really nice. Now, probably around 4 o'clock or so, I'm going to start getting super stressed out about the shuttle.
Yeah, like, when do we go? When do we queue up? What? You're going to find out people were queuing up since 10 a.m. for the dumb shuttle.
Right, for the shuttle.
And one other thing I would say how I think it's going to go. I do think it's going to be better than 2022 because Bob Iger is back. Woo! Shout out Bob Iger. Like, he's back in control. The creatives are back in control. So I think that enough is a good sign.
Right, right. So the last thing I have on my list, two more things. These are both like money things and like experience as well. One, now if let's say I didn't want to go to one of the evening events, like I don't want to go to the Disney Entertainment one. I don't care about movies, which I totally do. But let's say I didn't in this situation. Do I need to go on Friday? Maybe I could skip an entire expo day, save hundreds of dollars, and not even go that day at all, right? So, like,
it's interesting because they bundled it up.
$100, but.
Like, what if you wanted to go to the Disney live action panel, but not the animated or the Disney Plus or the Fox? But now you kind of feel it's the opposite, right? You feel like, well, I paid for it, the whole bundle.
Right. And now they're all smashing together, so you can't even, like, choose anyway. But, yeah, like, now you can skip, like, I've heard of a few people that are skipping Sunday because they don't want to go to the Legends ceremony. And now you have all this extra time because you brought up a good point. I said 6 hours earlier that you gained back from the big panels. That's not true because there's numerous ones a day. There's usually that middle day, like Saturday, I had two back-to-back. So it was, like, 4 hours plus the time in between. So you probably gained, like, almost a full day back in the convention center. It's crazy. So it's like, now maybe I could sacrifice one of those and not even go for 3 full days. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's something to think about.
The single ticket thing is interesting because based on what you just said about that person not wanting to go to Legends, I bet you Legends will still have open seats just for that day, you know, throughout the rest of this week, maybe while it's on sale, something like that.
Yeah. Quite interesting.
So if you like that stuff, you want to see the celebs and pay some respects, you might be able to still get into that even if the others are sold out.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to see if the floor seats get sold out. Oh. Those like thousands of dollar seats because there's a lot. Like when you look at the map, it's like there's just a ton of seats that are those really high price ones. So like, are they even going to get to sell them or are they going to fill them in? I'm going to squeeze my way down there and be like, excuse me.
You know what?
I see a seat open. Thank you.
If it truly is like a concert, sometimes they have those scouts looking for the biggest fans and then they bring you down to the floor.
Oh, I'll be like waving my freak flag. Hi. I'll be like, let's go. Oh, yeah. And they always love us too. Remember they always like film us because we're always the ones like dancing.
We still have the energy.
All those D23 videos.
Even after overnight queue, we are still hyped.
Hyped. I love it. And then another thing to think about is, like, do I even need to be a D23 gold member at this point? Because guess what? We didn't get a discount this year.
Oh.
There's no discount anymore. The only thing we got was we got in a little early to buy tickets, which I guess, could be helpful. I have to see that. We'll have to see tomorrow if it even made a difference, because then I'll keep it. If
that's just yet another thing that I'm thinking feels like a concert. So the only reason why I pay for these like butterfly Mariah Carey club fan clubs is because they get the ticket sales like a couple days early. And I always feel like they're going to get sold out. I have to do it. So sometimes I join these fan clubs just for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our friends of the show, he was telling me the line got cut off on him today. And he's like, that's literally the only reason I became a gold member. And I'm like, that sucks. Wow. Like, you know, what can you do? And it's a shuffle. He was in there on time. He didn't show up late, you know?
That sucks.
I just, I don't know what you can do about it. So really sucks. So yeah, lots of stuff to think about. Lots of changes. Again, if you guys haven't bought your tickets yet and you still are, try the one-day method like I was saying. It's really not that – it's like I think $16 more in the end or something because you have to pay different fees. But it's worth it. You get your seats together and you don't have to sit all by yourself. And that kind of sucks if you do, unless you like being alone, which sometimes I do, but not in this situation. all right. So that is – wait, I want to actually say one more thing. I should have said this way earlier. But I just want to tell this because you don't know this yet, unless you've been following along, which you probably have. But the actual finding a seat thing was crazy, like so stressful. And then you have the time clicking, like ticking down to like get your purchase completed. I barely got my tickets within like a minute. Like I had to, I was like madly trying to put in my credit card information. I had like the last minute clicking down like an escape room. And I'm like, I'm going to get failed out of this. I got through, thankfully. But when you were looking for the single tickets, like, or I'm sorry, like the three-day package that was really hard to find, they're only showing single seats, they show you the entire map of the place because they wouldn't even offer the find the best seat option anymore by that point. It was like you had to select your seats. And so when I was in there, it shows the whole stadium and these random seats would keep popping up and they would just disappear. It was like whack-a-mole. It was... nuts. And you had to like click and keep looking in these whole sections and they would just poof or they'd give you like an error.
Because they're probably like sitting in someone's cart on a timer, right? And then they would disappear.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just like plip, plip, plip,
very
plip,
stressful.
All over the place. And it's like, I recorded a little bit of it. I'll have to put it on Instagram, but it was pure madness. And it made me, that was like so stressful. When I first got in line, I was like, cool. I was like, this is going to be chill, like whatever. And then I started hearing all the errors. I'm like, oh, Disney, of course we have errors. Like, excuse me. And like, to be expected. And then when that started happening, like realizing the seat situation was a mess, it was, that was like the stress. My hair started falling out. It was crazy. Bananas.
All right. So you have your tickets and some of our Disney-holic friends have their tickets. You will be there. But you did get to do some Disney stuff just recently. You have a Disneyland and Disneyland adjacent activity trip report.
Dun-dun-dun. I do. Yahoo! So I went down for a quick weekend trip. We flew down on Saturday, actually, because we were blocked out on Saturday. Another new Disney feeling with our Believe keys. And we did some stuff outside the park on Saturday, which was like one of those things I just don't normally do. And then had some other stuff going on and then some park stuff. So I thought I would talk about it real quick because it was a really fun trip and I wanted to share. So first off, we were flying in at like 10 a.m. because that was like the cheap ticket, right? Excuse me, goodness. So 10 a.m. cheap flight to L.A. And we're like, what are we going to do with all our time? Because we have all day now. What are we going to do? So leave it to me to completely book up the entire day to where there's like literally no spare time to where we even had to leave stuff earlier than we were ready to. But like just how we do. So we decided we're like, okay, we're flying into Burbank and like let's do a studio tour. I had never done one. I was with my friend Joy. Shout out Joy. She had done a tour before and she had really good reviews and had a great time. So I was like, let's do it. So we checked out the WB Studios and went on their backlot tour. Tons of fun. If you guys haven't done this and love like seeing famous like sites of like things you've been seeing in movies your whole life. Like we saw where they filmed like this classic Singing in the Rain video. Like what? Like that was
well,
so
also,
cool. Just, like,
I think the Warner Brothers right Water Tower is there where the Animaniacs live inside of.
Animaniacs. maniacs.
That's cool enough as it is. Yep.
I know, right? Can we just get a little more of that though? How will they show that to us?
Some more? Virtual reality or our augmented reality. They pop out of the tower.
That would be great. Yep. So we went on a WB tour. That was super fun. It gave us an hour of a guided tour, which ended up running over. I think it was like an hour and a half, which is kind of cool. We had a great tour guide. And then you have 2 hours that you can explore the grounds on your own, like where they let you go, right? But they have a bunch of experiences you could walk through, and they have all these like costumes and vehicles and stuff from the attractions, or not the attractions, the movies that we've all known and loved our whole lives. So that was
Did they have Harry Potter stuff?
Highly recommended.
Harry Potter? Was there Harry Potter there?
Lots of Harry Potter stuff, yep.
Nice.
That's right. Lots of Batman.
I was just going to ask. Stuff. Oh, Batman. Yep. All right.
Yep. And Friends. That was another.
Oh, okay.
There that everybody loves. So, so yeah, it was a great experience. We found it on, oh God, what is that website called? Undercover
Tourist.
Tourist or something? Is that it? Undercover Tourist had discounted tickets. So we got in for like $55, I think, or something close to that. So it was, you know, not super expensive and took away like 3 or 4 hours of your day. And it was a great time to spend. So we did that as soon as we landed. And then I was like, Joy, you want to play an escape room? Because she hasn't. And she's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, all right, we're going to. So it was super cool. We went and played an escape room. Liked it so much. We added on another one right after. So it was great. We did 2 escape rooms. And escape rooms are great because they're an hour long usually, and they're everywhere. They're spread out all over the place. It's not like Disneyland where you have to go to one location and everything's there. They're just everywhere. And so if you ever have any spare time and you're interested in an escape room and you're somewhere where you just like have a couple hours to kill, look into it.
Yeah.
It's a fun experience. You could just do it for an hour and then you're done. So we did that.
What themes did you guys go into?
Oh my God. The first one was so cute. It was called Inksidious. And it looked like you're in like a cartoon world.
Oh, that's fun.
Kind of. And they had a black and white room where everything looked like it was in black and white.
Ooh.
And like cartoon, like thick, like lines, you know, on everything. It was very cute. And there was, it almost reminded me a little of Cuphead, like the animation they were using throughout it. So very cute. And also very classic old school Disney style is kind of what Cuphead took after too. So very, very cute. Very fun room. And then the second room we played was called the Mush Room. So Mushroom.
Clever.
Get it? And it was like a fantasy fairy kind of cutesy candy filled room. Like it was like something you would see in like Wonka or something.
Oh, but not like that Wonka experience that went viral.
No, thank you. <goodness. laughs>
The Mushroom. Do you know why the Mushroom is always invited to every party?
Because they get people high. I don't know what.
That too. Because he's a real fun guy.
Ha ha! Oh, that's actually really cute.
That's one of my favorite really go-to like popsicle stick dad jokes.
You're just waiting around for someone to talk about mushrooms.
I'm like, aha.
It's got to happen a few times in life.
I've said it once already on this trip that I'm currently on with family.
Oh my God. Don't let people hear you repeating dad jokes, because that's the worst.
I'm not even a dad to make it even more worse.
Right. You're a dog dad.
There you go, dog dad.
Yeah. And then the last thing we did for that night was, if you guys had seen a lot of people posting this on social media, they had this Matterhorn Lodge that was basically an overlay of a bar way out in the middle of nowhere, for me at least. It was in Montclair, California. It felt like kind of just, I didn't know where I was anymore driving out there. I'm definitely not local, so, but it was kind
of
out.
How far would you say from like Orange County?
Orange County, probably like just over an hour.
Oh, okay.
Northeast. So it was kind of like, I don't even know for sure, but I think it was like kind of near Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, so perhaps closer to LA proper.
Yeah, it was like east, okay. Like directly east of LA. Yeah, or maybe northeast of LA still, like maybe directly east of Burbank.
Ah, okay.
Just keep going. Yeah. And there's this company called Experience the Set that puts on these overlays. And I don't know if they've done previous ones or not. I was trying to find out. But they did one of this bar that's like this back section of this already used 80s. It's like literally called that 80s bar. I think that's what it's called on the outside. And so we're like, where is this Matterhorn thing? There's an 80s bar here. And turns out there's like secret door that you walk through and go all the way to the back. And then you get into the Matterhorn Lodge. Ooh. And it's like this weird transition of going through this 80s bar. And then all of a sudden you're in the Matterhorn. It's super weird. But they did a great job. You walk in, super themed out. They had like panels across the entire ceiling that look like they're like screens, but they look like it was snowing. Like it was like glass windows and it was nighttime and snowing. There was like a fire, just like very snow lodge themed. And then tons of stuff from Disneyland Park. They had like the cast members only sign Ooh. On all the doors that you can see while you're getting off the Matterhorn. The next day we're on the Matterhorn. I'm like, look, there's that sign. They had that same Yeti footprint
Ooh.
At the front of the Matterhorn in Disneyland Park. Lots of stuff that you will see in there that's like, oh, that was definitely like a replica of what we see at Disneyland. So that was really cool to like kind of do this Disney adjacent. It has no affiliation with Disney at all. Just a fun thing to
was
do.
Was Harold the snowman there? Walk around?
Harold the snowman is not there. However, his cousin... Oh. Gerald.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
And
wait, did they really call him that? Oh, that would have been chef's kiss if they did.
Just made it up right yeah. now. See, they should hire me. Everyone should hire me. But Gerald came out looking a wreck, but he was so weird. For some reason, he was wearing a... I thought about this later. I'm like, why? Like, I don't really know why they did this, but if anybody has any ideas... He was wearing a shower cap and carrying like a loofah sponge. And he had a sign that said, will work for hot water. And I'm like, what? Like,
oh, maybe my mind is thinking because he can't take a hot bath in the mountain because it's all, that's a stretch though.
Yeah, but like, why? But even then, yeah. why? Why is he looking for a bath?
And it's not him that's dirty, it's the one in Expedition Everest that's stinky. The disco Yeti.
But this is his cousin Gerald. Oh, yeah. I told you he's a little more of a mess.
That's right.
He partied really hard the night before. He's just like trying to clean up. You know, he's had a long day. But he was out and he would make like loops around to meet everybody. I have to say, Joy and I had a long day before this, right? We did escape rooms. We played at one of the escape rooms with eight of our friends, my friends, Joy's now friends. And... it was just a lot. It was a long day of doing a lot of stuff. And so by the time we got to this place, we were not only tired, but it was like an introvert's nightmare. I'm going to be straight real. It was very crowded. They told you as you go in that there's a 2-drink minimum. So you're now under pressure to buy stuff, right? Which I was planning on getting a drink anyway. You're at a bar. There's nothing else to do. There's not food or anything else to do. So you're going to get a drink and hang out. However, there was no seating. And you had to have a table to order a drink.
What?
And so we were just kind of like standing and like kept moving around because it was so crowded that you like were always in people's way. And I think I maybe looked at Joy with this like eye of panic. And yeah. she kind of looked at me. She's like, so how long do you want to stay here? Or something like that. And I was like, thank God for you because I am ready to leave right now. So what we did was we did a couple laps around the place. I got a bunch of recording. If you saw my reel I did on it, it may have looked like we were there forever. I was there for maybe 15 minutes. Not even going to lie.
Wow.
I was just
That's
there.
Too stressful when
it
you
was
have
tons
to like
of fun, and then we bounced.
Play that game where you have to jump for the table. That's very stressful.
Yeah. And it was, they were supposedly letting people in time groups. And so they're like, oh, everyone will be leaving soon. But like nobody was moving. Like it was, there was like different color wristbands. There's already like 4 different color wristbands on people in there. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Evidently, somebody we know was also there that night. Shout out to Jay Lass. He was there that night. And he said that they were like tapping on people's shoulders, like telling them they have to go. So I think they enforced it later in the night when they're getting closer to closing. But we were there at like, I think we had our reservations at 8:30. So like maybe it was just too early, but it was a mess and I was not
yeah,
there
Yeah, I
for
would
it.
Expect if there's a time component to have a seat ready, a table.
Yeah.
Ready. Like Oga's or
Another
something.
Another thing I will say, caveat, is that we were also there the final day, which is always more chaotic.
Okay.
But that's just what happened to line up with our plans, right? So I would say if you guys were interested in something like this, to go check it out. But maybe try to plan strategically the day. Maybe not a Saturday night. Maybe not last or opening day, right? Just go like sometime on a better mid-term night when they're not closing or opening and it's too chaotic. So that was kind of messy for us. Our friend who was there later, he even said it wasn't, they got a seat. It wasn't like super smooth, but they were able to like get a seat and like it was more chill. So for us, it wasn't the best experience. However, it was fun for even the short amount of time we were there. Like, we had a blast. There was a moment where I remembered, I was like, oh my God, we need to check the bathrooms. I always forget to check the bathrooms at themed places. You should always look in the bathrooms. They always have theming, most of them. And it's fun. So Joy and I walked in the bathroom, closed the door. It was a single person bathroom. Closed the door, locked it, and like had a dance party in the bathroom for 5 minutes. Oh. And that was like the best part of the whole night.
That's just like at the gay bars. That's basically what happens.
It was like they had the music playing super loud in the bathroom and you could actually hear it. Out there you couldn't really hear it. Oh. And it was these great like remixes of like yodeling, whatever the style, I don't even know what the, maybe polka?
No
that
idea.
Bigger style of music that they play with yodeling. But it was like remixes, so it was like EDM versions of those songs. It was hilarious.
Wow.
So we were in the bathroom, we could actually hear it. And we were dancing, and there was all this, like, posters on the wall that you could read, and they're, like, really funny, and they all were, it was all themed out in there too. So,
well, now that you've
been... check the bathrooms, anything.
You've
place.
Experienced a Matterhorn-themed bar lounge. Would you like to see something like that at Disneyland and or Animal Kingdom? Would that work?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really cute, like a nice snowy lodge.
Yeah, that could be fun.
That's really fun, yeah. Maybe Everest, because that's such a famous... I mean, so is Matterhorn, but there's no room in Disneyland.
Yeah, Everest... like, Animal Kingdom can always use something new.
Yeah, they could use some more stuff.
Have fun, imagine.
They could also use more eateries there, right?
Yeah. And like, what if that became, like, the Ogas of Animal Kingdom, and people like to end the night there?
Yeah, like have some appetizers and drinks.
And have...
That could be really fun.
Does he have a name? Not Gerald, not Harold, but the Expedition Everest Yeti?
Shoot. You know what? I know everyone calls him, like the fan base calls him Disco Yeti, but I don't...
Yeah, I don't know either.
...know that he has
But
a
that would be
name.
Fun if he came out and had a meet and greet like they do with Beast.
And he stinks.
And he stinks, yeah.
He's all matted. Gross. And he's like 40 feet tall.
Ooh, creepy.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I think that would be a great idea. I would be super into
if they were
open that. It'd be fun. Yep. So again, experience is set. They've already closed it, and they are doing a retheme on the same exact bar. So they're already planning their new one. On your exit, they have these like posters up about it. So you can see, or I don't know if it's posters. I think it was actually like a screen with like a video about it. The next thing they're having is called, I think it's just called The Grid or Enter the Grid. So it's going to be Tron.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm really curious how they're going to make something that felt like you're in a log cabin feel like you're now in Tron.
Yeah.
Very different. So they're going to have to rip the whole wall, all the stuff down, right? It's going to be so different. So
and fun music, too.
I almost want to go back just to see that transformation.
Yeah. Huh. I bet you a lot of like glowing drinks and cool things like that.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Cool futuristic type looking things too. So, but it's good to see these other things going on that you can do outside of the park as well, right? It's always fun to kind of be able to travel a little bit while you're down there and not only go to Disneyland. So that was nice getting to hop around and do other things. So that was our Saturday. But then the whole reason that we planned this trip at all was because we wanted to go on the Walt Land Tour. Now the Walt Land Tour is a bus tour with Bob Gurr. If any of you don't know who Bob Gurr is, he is a Disney legend, Imagineer, worked with Walt Disney. He's like literally 92 years old. So
wow.
I don't even want to say it out loud, but there's reasons why we would want to go soak up time with him, if you know what I mean. And so we're like, we have to go see Bob Gurr do this tour again because he's just so fun. He's so in it for the fans. He's a big fan himself. And he does this tour where he takes you all around like Burbank, Glendale, and L.A., and takes you to all these historic sites that are specific to Walt. So I'll do a quick list of where they go. They go to Walt and Roy's home on Lyric Avenue. Most of these you get out of the bus and go look at it, and Bob Gurr will tell you the story behind it. and answer any questions. And
wait, so Walton Roy had homes too. In California? I guess so. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. They had houses
here.
They lived
there forever.
Yeah. I don't know. I just always picture them forever living in like Marceline or something. But I forgot. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, duh. Like he commuted to Burbank. It all makes sense now, but it just sounds weird.
Right. That would be super weird if they
He should like, only live in Marceline or Main Street. He's not
Especially
allowed to live.
Especially back then, in the 20s. They'd have to like, what? I don't even know when planes were really coming out yet. I think the 40s or something, right? Anyway, I don't know. Someone's screaming at me right now. I know it. So they lived down there. They had a few different houses. This place on Lyric Avenue was really cool because they were the kit homes that you used to buy like in a box that would show up. You could build it. So they had like these, they're really cute. They're super cute homes. I wouldn't mind having it at all. But they have them there and they still have a family, or not a family crest necessarily. They couldn't find the origin of it, but a crest in the window that's been there since Walt lived there. So that's kind of cool, just like some historic stuff. Then you go out to where the Hyperion Studios used to be, which is now like a grocery store. But you get to see the little historic plaque for it and whatnot. You go to see the Hyperion Studios bungalows, which is like where all the people who worked there would live. They also have the Snow White houses there. They look like they nabbed them right out of the movies. They're these little cute Snow White bungalows. You then go to Griffith Park to ride the merry-go-round, if it is open. It was not open for us, unfortunately. Wow. This is an ancient merry-go-round. And this is where Walt Disney, in theory and through stories, came up with the idea for Disneyland. So it's very cool for us Disneyholics to go there. He was supposedly sitting on a bench while he took his daughters, and he was like, why isn't there a theme park that families can enjoy, adults and kids the same, because he's just bored sitting on a bench and they're having fun. So like, why can't we do this together? Yeah. So supposedly that's how he came up with Disneyland. That is the story. And very cool to go see that. And also like go ride on an old ass merry-go-round. It's like, it's a trip. They're like all these
classic
old ancient wood horses. Just really cool. Then we had lunch at the Gene Autry Museum. This actually has nothing to do with the museum. We didn't even go in. We just ate there.
Oh.
That was weird.
Okay.
But then you go to the Walt Disney Barn. Now, this is a place in Los Angeles, or I think it's in Glendale, that is open one Sunday. I think it's the third Sunday out of every month, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Make sure to look that up before you go. It is free to go. It's donations only. And it's really cool. There's all this, like, history there. It's like they have all this stuff from Walt Disney there. They have the little train that rides around you could ride on. Then they have in the actual barn, they have a bunch of what's the word I'm looking for? Memorabilia and like ephemera and whatnot of Disney, as well as like full size trains. And
did they bring the bench over from the barn?
The bench is now in Disneyland. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's in the gallery
with all the fan signatures.
Or is it called gallery now? Yeah, gallery. Yep.
Very cool.
So it's right there when you walk in. They took that bench over. But yeah, so you go there, and then what else do you do? Mappo, which I honestly can't even remember what that was right now. Is that the airport? No.
Mappo.
Mappo. M-A-P-O. It's an acronym. I can't remember what that is. Sorry about it. They go there,
and
then we go to WDI.
I'll Google it while you explain the rest of the tour.
Yeah, yeah. WDI Imagineering at 1401, which a lot of us know that number very well. It's like hidden in all sorts of Disney movies. You get to actually see the building. Go to the air terminal where they have the D23 offices and used to be part of Imagineering. Bob Gurr can point out the window that used to be his office, which is really cute. For some reason, we drive by DreamWorks. Just take that one off the list.
I guess the closest ABC, you could relate it to is that, but that wasn't even in Walt's age. Jeffrey Katzenberg, former executive at Disney, left to found DreamWorks. But yeah, that's a stretch.
Yeah, they did talk about him. They did. Yep. ABC TV also similar. And then WDI Research and Development and the Walt Disney Studios. So you get to like, you don't get in these places, but you get to, like, a lot of them you get to get out and hear again Bob Gurr's story. So, like, to me, this trip is a lot to do with getting to hear from Bob Gurr himself. It really is sweet. He's very genuine. He sat with us at the Walt Disney, at Griffith Park Museum, or the merry-go-round. He just let us ask him whatever we wanted, and he would give these full stories of all this cool stuff. I might include one at the end of this episode, actually, because there's some really fun stuff I was recording that he was talking about. Just really personal stories. Like, somebody asked him why he always wears the color red, and he tells us all about that. So just, like, really great moments with Bob Gurr. So they should have that instead of Abraham Lincoln for our overlay, just saying.
I can't find anything on this mapo other than, like, restaurants, fried chicken, Korean restaurant. I no idea.
I can't remember what that was. There's just so much going on. And then, you know, again, the whole reason I was there was just to spend time with Walker in a way. Or Walker.
Walt Gurr.
So Freudian slip. Get, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. So, he's a legend enough that he was around, right? With Walt Disney?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yep. He's one of the last standing, I think. So, yeah. And he's just so great. He's got so much energy. He's so charismatic. I just adore him. I remember thinking at one point, I had seen him talk so many times, I'm like, oh, Bob Gurr, he's always saying the same stories. Like, I kind of had that feeling. And then I was with Jeff Bam one time, and he asked him some random question. And Bob Gurr, just the three of us, just went off on this tangent telling us all these stories about. And the way he would, like, speak, he's so well-spoken, it felt like it was being recited. But it was something I'm sure he hadn't talked about a lot. Oh. So it's just really cool that he could just pull these out. Like, he has this memory bank and just wants to share everything with people. And it's really fun to just hear him just go loose on all of this history he had with the parks and Walt Disney and all the Imagineers. He talks really funny stories about Rolly Crump too. I guess he was pretty close with him. So just tons of fun. These do sell out very quickly. So if you're ever interested in looking into one, go to waltland.com. Make sure you keep tabs on it. Add them to your socials. And when they go on sale, they sold out, I think, immediately. So, like, you have to get in quick to get on one of these tours. So, yeah, so that was the whole point of the trip. And then just quickly about Disneyland. We finally got to Disneyland Sunday night after the tour was over. We drove down and went to the parks. And Sunday night in Disneyland, right as spring break is starting for lots of different areas, was deserted.
Wow.
Like, literally probably one of the emptiest I've ever seen it since that time when they reopened right after COVID.
Wow.
Remember how it was, like, just nobody there during that time? It was like that again. And it was amazing. Like, it was so cool. We took all these cool photos of us goofing around all by ourselves in these big areas. And just, like, we're just going on all the rides, doing all the things. And it was a blast. So one of those nights we didn't really get to experience too often. So it was, like, a great way to, like, walk into the park. We also walked up to Oga's. I was like, I wonder if it's dead, if Oga's is also dead. Let's see. And they just walked us straight in.
Wow, no reservations.
No reservation, amazing. Nothing. Walked straight in, and there was, like, hardly anybody in there too. So all the cast members were, like, hanging out somewhere, just, like, sitting in a booth. Like, they're just chilling. Some came over. They're, like, hanging out with us and talking to us. Like,
I can't even remember if I've actually had the pleasure of sitting in a booth. I always get stuck at the standing table with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. This time we got straight up to the bar front. But we got a great view of DJ Rex. And we had, like, three different, or maybe even four different bartenders coming up and helping us because they were just all, I think, bored. Honestly, they're just, like, trying to hang out and talk. And I was like, cool. That was a really, really good time. And then we went most of the day Sunday, also really chill. However, that was a weird weather day. I remember we were sitting, there's this new little area in DCA close to where they used to have that Captain Marvel meet and greet.
Oh, okay.
In the backlot studio area. And they have this new little seating area, and it reminds me of, like, any hotel pool lounge area with those, like, outdoor patio seating with the big cushions, and it's all colorful and the umbrellas. So you have this whole lounge area now that you can hang out at, which is really nice. So we're over there, and I remember taking a picture of the palm trees, like, straight up from us, and it was just, like, this really pretty blue sky and the palm trees, and sending it to some of my friends and being like, such a beautiful day today. And then within, like, 2 hours, we were all hiding in Art of Animation building from the hail.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Like, it went from that to that, like, so quickly. But it started pouring, which, you know, I love. So I was like, this is awesome. We also had to, like, everyone left because of that. So we, like, couldn't get on a tram. And it was just downpouring on us waiting for a tram. So we just decided to walk it, like you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
The onslaught.
Give up and walk.
Giving up and walking. We got dumped on. We were completely soaked by the time we made it to our car. Our shoes all squishy. But all the end, it was such a great trip. And, yeah. Amazing. So
that's very fun.
To share that crazy.
You trip. Had mentioned it crossed my mind when you talked about the Hyperion Studios. I think we should talk about the news that just came out this week for Hyperion Theater, which is named after Hyperion Studios. Yes. At DCA. So the new musical that is going into.
I haven't even heard this
yet. Oh my God.
Is this breaking news for me? I haven't been.
It's
on
breaking
like
news.
Anything like
I don't know how you're gonna feel about it. It's Soul of Pandora. An Avatar musical.
No, they're putting it there.
Blue people.
Wait, they said it was going to be an Avatar experience
singing,
on a show.
Oh, is that not an experience enough for you, Gentis?
Oh, God.
But also.
Okay, wait. It could be cool. Because they're so good at their stage lighting and all that stuff. It could be really, really pretty.
Yeah. Apparently there was a musical. I don't know if it was official or not, but you know, when you watch theater movies at the Alamo, they show you related clips of things. And I remember seeing like a Cirque du Soleil style Avatar musical. And okay. I don't know where that came from. It felt very international, something about it, like not in the US.
Okay.
But I don't know if that was official or not. But also what's not official is this announcement, because we don't have an episode coming out on April Fool's Day, so I thought I had to April Fool's you a little bit early.
Oh, my God. You cannot April Fool's. What's today? You cannot April Fool's people on the 26th of March.
Well, it's Mike. I can't do it after either, which our next episode airs after. So.
But you're an everyday prankster. So
everyday prankster. I wonder how many people were just clutching their pearls at that Avatar announcement. But also, I hope I didn't create a... I hope I didn't put that out into the air, because it's not that far.
Yeah, don't let the universe hear you, okay?
It's not that far off of something weird they would announce.
Because we also haven't heard anything else about that, right?
Yeah, we want to hear more about Avatar, and I've been waiting to figure out what's going into the Hyperion Theater. They had a short stint with the Avengers musical, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, somebody had said something recently. I remember seeing somebody post about it, that they think that they're going to be bringing Rogers the musical to a cruise ship because of some stuff they were announcing.
I could see that going,
the new cruise ship.
Especially during the Marvel's Day at Sea that they have. That would be perfect for that.
Somebody, I think it was the brand new, because they just announced another cruise ship. After
another cruise ship they announced before D23. The Disney, oh my God, how do I not know it?
It's probably in the bucket. Just grab it.
It's
just
about
grab
like heroes. It has to do with heroes.
See, that's probably why then.
Yeah.
That's why they're talking about that.
Yep. It's all hero themed. Minnie has a cape in it. What is it called? Shame on me. We'll Google it.
Shame. Let's see if I can look it up. Disney cruise ship.
Oh, man. So Disney Treasure is the one we're excited about. And then
Destiny?
Destiny. Yep. Disney Destiny. Because it's
Disney
your
Destiny.
Destiny. And it's going to have a lot of that stuff, like super or heroes and villains is what they said. Not necessarily only superheroes. So it seems like it's going to have a lot of Marvel, but a lot of like heroes and villains, like Aladdin, Jafar, stuff like that, that are paired together. So it's going to be interesting.
Okay.
And I think it's also getting the Haunted Mansion bar that the treasure is getting.
Oh, yeah. Interesting, on two different ships.
So there's something that you'll probably see at D23. It's probably like a model of it, and you get to see everything that's coming to the new ship.
Right.
Good stuff.
It's interesting. It's coming out in 2025 also, so you're having two new ships.
Treasure is this year already. It's now.
Oh, is it this year?
Yeah, 2024.
Wow.
Time flies. And even that, it was all delayed because of COVID. I think both of these ships were supposed to come out a couple years ago in order.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Love.
Wow. So, my goodness. Yeah, thanks for the prank. That was great. Fools. The punk. What's our next one? April 3rd, huh, is our next episode.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, I'm going to be careful. Ready I may just do a next post. Recording. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you probably
maybe
will.
I need to do a priest
you're probably
going to
move
full.
Our recording date till Monday so that you can prank me the whole time. I'm going to be on to you now. You should have done that. So for the last thing for this episode, we had another Patreon topic because we are still in Patreon takeover for a couple, maybe I think one last week after this episode. Yeah. Wrapping up. And our topic came from Skywalking Through Neverland, and they said, what is your dream Disneyland band set? Name all the tracks they would play, and where in the park would you have them to play this set? Like, set the scene. Where would this land? And I watched a bunch of Disneyland band on this last trip, so I'm very excited to talk about this. So, Mike, why don't you take it first? Because I've been doing a lot of talking.
Okay, I was very excited about this one. So thank you to the Skywalking Through Neverland crew for such a fun topic. And like you said, it's perfect because you were just there doing a whole Disneyland band. What is it called? Like, I don't know, you watched it twice in a row? I think saw the band twice in a row, put it on Instagram, but you had a whole moment. So it's very timely for us to talk about the Disneyland band.
Right.
Okay, so they wanted us to tell our listeners where we would set this band.
Yes.
Set, and then what songs are going to play, right? So I was really into this one. I'm very excited. They have a 10-song set in my dream Disneyland band performance. And it's going to be at Toontown Centennial Park.
Whoa!
Because, yeah, need to do more stuff back there. And it's also the home of all of our favorite Disney characters. And they have this brand new Centennial Park. So all of that stuff, might as well do it. And the Disneyland band is going to open with the maroon logo theme. This is from Roger Rabbit. It's like the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that type of thing. Opens up the hole. So that starts it.
Wait, that was Looney Tunes, wasn't it?
It sounds like that. It was almost like a parody of that. And okay, then they even had the circle and the thing in Roger Rabbit. A little bit, yeah. And at the end, I think they did the real one and Porky Pig got stuck. Because remember, WB combined with Disney for Roger Rabbit. Crazy times.
Oh, yeah,
crazy
that's right. Times.
So you'll have that maroon logo to start it off to remind you, hey, you're in Toontown, Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes into the Mickey Mouse March, which we all know. That's me playing the trumpet in the band. And then it's going to take a turn, and it's going to get really upbeat with the band music, and they're going to play Disco Mickey Mouse. So Disco Mickey Mouse is from the Disco
That's
Mickey Mouse album.
Super cute.
Very cute. And I listened to it to make sure that it could be translated into like horns and drums. Totally could. And it'll be fun, upbeat disco. And then it's going to transition into Macho Duck, which is also from the Disco Mickey Mouse album. That's Macho, Macho Duck. And, you know, there's no words, I think, with Disneyland band, so you'll know it. You recognize it. You'll be like, oh, my God, it's from the disco thing. So fun. And then while you're energized and jazzed, it's going to transition to DuckTales. Ooh! And it's going to be DuckTales theme, Disneyland band rendition, straight into the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers theme song as Disneyland band. And then
all right.
Goes into a real deep cut after this. For those who will recognize it as it's playing, Gummy Bears theme song.
Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Yep, so they'll play that. And then it's going to transition to Stand Out. I'm not going to sing it, but it's from a Goofy movie. Originally performed by the Tevin Campbell. But they will do a version of that. And then it starts to wrap up. There's two more songs left in this Toontown Centennial Park Disneyland band set. So the ninth,
all right.
The ninth song is Nothing Can Stop Us Now. And just around the corner there is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, so it's perfect. And then they end the entire set with the Mickey Mouse Club theme song, Slow Version Finale. You know the one where it ends kind of sad? It's like, now it's time to say goodbye.
Aww.
That one. And then they and they drum away and they walk backstage. Ta-da!
That is Wonderful. I love Woo-hoo. It. I would totally go watch it every single time.
Yep. Same. That's
every good, time.
Good songs. All right. So what did you dream up for the Disneyland Band dream set?
Okay. So I'm going to have them. They've already used this location in the past, but I'm going to have them on the walkways of Launch Bay. Because I think it's cool because it's a really good way to see them standing. Have you seen that before? What?
Wait, is this where the stormtroopers sometimes are?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Got it.
So I'm going to have them go back up there because it's a great visual. You get to see them. They're up high. Everyone can see them really easily. So again, stadium seating. Let's get them up there so we can look at them. It's either stadium them or stadium us, right? One or the other.
Yeah.
So put them up there. And then I can't think of a clever name right now because I didn't think of a title for this, but it would be like a then and now.
Ooh.
Type of situation. And we're going to play a couple theme songs from Disney attractions, old and new.
Ooh.
So you know I love me some extinct attractions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to throw some of that in there. Currently, the Disneyland Band has an attraction medley they do. I haven't heard them do it in a while, but it's like my favorite. It's like so fun to hear them do all of the attraction songs. So like, I want them to run off with that and do a bigger set with all attraction music, because that would just be great.
That would be nice.
So we're going to start off the set with Miracles from Molecules. I got the tune wrong there. Miracle.
I don't even know the tune, so I'm just going with it. I'm rolling with it.
It's Adventure Through Inner Space. I guess that's kind of the tune. I can't believe I can't remember how it goes right now. But we're going to sing that song. And then we're going to have one of the songs. I haven't really picked a song yet, but any of the songs that are big from America Sings.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, they're going to be on Launch Bay. You kind of have to include that, right? However, the song right after that is going to be There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, which also was in Launch Bay.
Okay, can we pause for a second so that I can revision where they are? This whole time, I was picturing them standing where in Galaxy's Edge, on top of the maintenance thing where the stormtroopers walk back and forth. And I was like, okay, where's she going with this? And then when you said they have to play this song there, I was like, why? Now it all makes sense. So they're at Launch Bay. Now I'm understanding Launch Bay. Carousel,
which is funny because they also have stormtroopers there.
Yes, yes. And Hyperspace Mountain right next door. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, so this makes much more sense. They're in that area.
Okay.
Tomorrowland. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be really hot watching them in any other place.
Yeah.
Actually, so this one probably. But yes, so we're going to sing Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. And then we're going to end with the extinct section. We're going to end with a very, no, I'm sorry, it's two more. One is How Do You Do, 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 Ooh. Do, Do, because it's just recently extinct and now we get to add it to the playlist agenda. So yeah. How Do You Do is going to be part of it because Splash Mountain is now gone. And then ending with a super deep cut Rainbow Caverns.
Oh.
It's really pretty. However, I am not a musician, and I don't even know if you could possibly translate Rainbow Caverns into a band song.
Is it like chimes and stuff like that? Like,
it's like theremins and all sorts of weird, trippy stuff. But I feel like they could make – you just have to have a melody, really, and then you could recreate it. So – if Fat Cat can do it, they're part of the Disneyland Band, so they got this.
There you go.
Yeah. So that would be the extinct section, and then we would have some kind of fun transition into the now. And now this is going to be some of the big hits because people at that point will be like, what's going on? And then the familiarity will come back, and they'll be like, this is awesome, right? So we're going to play Yo-Ho from Pirates, followed by Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Yeah.
And then, again, getting in a little deep cuts, we're going to try to play the surfer rock version of the Space Mountain theme
That's
song,
a good one.
Which is actually Carnival of the Animals.
Yep.
Right? Again, don't know if that'll translate. It's a classical
and
song.
Isn't it Michael Giacchino? Whatever
yes.
His name is. Yeah. Very cool. Yep. Very cool.
So we'll just see if we can translate that. Actually, the first one is Dick Dale.
Oh.
So that's the one I actually want. It's a Dick Dale version.
Oh. It has, yeah. Okay, I remember it.
Do, do, do. Yes, that one. So we're going to have that song. And then I picked my final song kind of the same as yours before the sad one. Nothing can stop us now. Because, like, that's a great way to end it. Yeah. Nothing can stop us now.
And especially, like, yeah. one of the newest, if not the newest attraction right now.
Yeah, one of the newest attractions, yep. Which just made me think I should have added a Princess and the Frog song. Because that definitely
translates. Not yet. Hasn't opened yet. Times already. It's okay. Hasn't opened yet.
Maybe that'll go right before the Nothing Can Stop Us Now. So, yeah. So, attractions, medley, extravaganza, launch bay, Disneyland band.
Yeah.
Would you come to my concert?
Oh, of course. Of course. Both. I want to go to both. I want to go to both. And both have one song in common, right? The Mickey and Minnie's. Yes.
Yes. Good. Well, I will see you guys all there as soon as they come up with this idea that came out of my brain. Just kidding. It probably will never happen, but I wish it would. All right. Well, today we went over a lot of me talking. Sorry. Your guys' ears are bleeding by the end of this episode, but we got to hear all about the D23 ticket buying experience, why Mike isn't going. Then we talked about all the new things going on at D23. Then I shared with you guys a trip report that was a little in Disney and a little out of Disney. Followed by our Patreon topic by Skywalking Through Neverland. What is your dream Disneyland band set?
Woohoo! Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed episode 182 of the Disneyholic Show.
Follow us on social media at the Disneyholics.
And if you'd like to get in touch, send us a DM on Instagram or contact us at thedisneyholics.com. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, a long time ago, you know, I started doing stuff in public, and then I could see that Walt always said, well, you should educate, but you sure better entertain if you're going to try to educate. So there's a subtle difference. And for a long time, I would be sent off to, like, Society of Automotive Engineers meetings in Detroit, stuff like that. And I thought, boy, if I ever have to give a speech, I'm not going to do a PowerPoint-like thing. I'm not going to have a screen and talk to the screen and talk to the people and repeat what was ever there and do it so boringly technically accurate that people are asleep in the meeting. So it was a mental note. And then I thought, oh, I had to start doing this, some of the stuff on my own. The company would send me out. So I just thought, tell a technical story of how products are done, but I do it from the standpoint of telling all the things that didn't work, because that was a lot funnier than the stuff that did work. Okay, then I thought, oh, keep everybody alive. Have some fun doing stuff. And then I saw what the color red did to people. Something about red. And I just told one of the persons here today who did ask that question, and they found out the effect of red. And a long time ago, I had to wear my tuxedo and be a presenter for a theme award for the Themed Entertainment Association. And I had to come out as the first presenter. So they sent me out on stage, but my patent leather shoe, the sole fell off at the last moment. Getting in the car to go down there, I took my red shoes. And I wore a tuxedo, red shoes. You know, everybody's got a drink at Martini. The girls are all dressed in their gowns. The guys in tuxedos look like a flock of penguins to me. I come out dancing sideways. And the mirrors, red shoes, like, everybody laughed. Well, guess what happened? I noticed everybody was friendly to everybody. Red. So ever since, I like red. And, you know, red anything, you know. Sometimes I wear a dark maroon shirt, a Western snap shirt with a maroon coat. You know. Other times I have a flagrantly red, just a red coat. Why not, you know? So I got red shoes, several. These are almost worn out. I got to get something to replace it. So anyway, further answer the question. These are my regular walkers. My intermediates are Ferrari driving shoes. Nice leather with a little Ferrari emblem, because I used to have a Ferrari. And then the top stuff, Ernie took me to a Prada store a couple of years ago and said, we're going to buy shoes. You're going to, and why Prada? You know, we can go to Big Five and get perfect. I didn't understand the importance of shoes. So he bought me a black and red patent leather Pradas, $830. That was about 10 times more than my first car. it's on, if anybody follow me on Instagram, you could dig way back, you'll see it, going out buying shoes. Then I found out the power of Prada and the power of color.
Man, I really want to go to Disneyland.